not surpass penetrating and perfect truth. So in that, you're in 100,000 years of us. Now we can see and hear. We can remember and hear. I vow to make the Buddha's truth my one with my friend.
Shri Buddha, Shri Dharma, Shri Sangha. Starting our monastic retreat tomorrow, I want to say a few words as a kind of preface to that. This little talk is about possibilities. It's an amazing thing how different the possibilities look for two different people in pretty much exactly the same circumstances, or very frequently for the same person at two different times in very similar circumstances. When we have a downward-looking attitude, all the possibilities seem ominous and dark, foreboding. When we have an upward-looking attitude of mind, we have a sense of the richness of positive possibility, the sense that around any corner we might find something very helpful, something very encouraging. It's amazing the extent to which this is a matter of attitude rather than the external conditions. Now, it's true that there are extremes of possibilities that when actualized, they can be, those circumstances can just be very bright or very dark. Difficult. But by and large, most people live most of their lives in circumstances which are not in these extremes. Yet one of the things that the extreme circumstances teach us is that even there, someone with a determinedly upward-looking attitude of mind can find the Buddha within dreadful circumstances. And conversely, even in heavenly circumstances, a person with a determinedly downward-looking attitude of mind can find reason to complain. And so if this is true in the most extreme circumstances, how much more is it true in the more moderate, normal kind of range of circumstances that we live most of our lives in? That's the first point for this talk. That it's attitude of mind much more than external circumstances that determines the way in which we perceive possibilities. The second point I want to make is that our actions are necessarily influenced by the attitude that we have. There are many ways in which we can be negative, have a negative attitude and not be aware of it fully. There's many ways in which we can have a positive attitude and not be aware of it fully. A negative attitude can manifest in very mild ways. You might say the kind of mild despondency or despair rather than some extreme despondency or despair. And a positive attitude can manifest in very quiet and mild ways rather than as the more exuberant and enthusiastic kind of attitudes. And it's helpful for each of us to learn in ourselves, to recognize in ourselves when there is a downward turn in attitude. Even if it's a mild one, so that we can grasp our will and turn it around the other direction before it goes too far. For remember that attitude of mind precedes action. An attitude of mind quickly can become a form of action, mental action, in which we start to make karma. But in its first arising, attitude of mind is not yet the making of karma. So the sooner we can catch our attitude when it starts to go in a downward direction, the better we can live our lives. Very often the beginning of a downward looking attitude really just amounts to a kind of filtering of possibilities where the brighter, more positive possibilities kind of go into shadow and the darker, more negative possibilities get highlighted. And when this happens, we very easily get thrown off course in really following our hearts. Because what we see with our head at that point, what we discern with our head or think we discern, is that everything we do, there's going to be some inevitable problem that comes of it. So the solution becomes inaction. In some way retreating from responsibility. And this very often gets mistaken for safety. One is erring on the side of safety. But in fact, one may be actually doing what is really most dangerous. It's easy to think that the refusal to take a risk reduces risk. But it's never that simple because life is inherently risky. After all, we're all going to die one day. So it's impossible to eliminate all risk. And if one waits to ask, to act, until there is no possibility of risk, one is going to be doing a lot of sinning by omission, which is also making karma, and carries the big disadvantage that a person who's doing that convinces themselves they're not making karma. Because after all, I didn't do anything. Obviously, the solution to this kind of problem is not to go to the other extreme and be willfully reckless. The solution is to turn to our heart, to our Buddha nature, for guidance. Seek its guidance. To listen carefully to it. To follow it. And to do so with confidence. And without excessive concern for the possibility of everything blowing up in our face. Yes, the worst imaginable thing might happen. Also, it might not. And it is a fundamental part of faith that one trusts that whatever happens, one was, is, and will be safe in the hand of the Eternal. It's very easy to miss important opportunities because one mind is swamped by negative possibilities. When I was a young monk or a master, from time to time would look over at someone at a community tea or other event who was struggling with dejection, struggling in dejection. She'd say, "Don't worry, so-and-so, it may never happen. It may never happen." And she might have added, and she certainly lived her life this way, "And even if it does happen, you can't be separated from the Eternal by it." There are times in an individual's life, there are times in the life of a society or civilization, there are times in the life of a sangha when both the darker possibilities and the brighter possibilities loom very large on the horizon. It's very important not to be paralyzed by the darker possibilities, not to grasp after the brighter possibilities. Just to train each day, take one sure step at a time, even though so often that step is a step into the utter unknown. One step at a time does it.